All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, you know how in the ancient pantheons, the gods would just have sex with anything?
Oh, yeah. A swan?
Yep.
That's the only one I know. A swan?
Goat, horse, probably turtle.
Oh, absolutely a turtle. All the way, going all the way down.
What are they hiding inside that shell? Yeah. Who knows what kind of genital wonder is just a genital zoo they have in there. So I figured we would sacrifice a goat, get Zeus to come down here and fuck this lamb that I have, and see what game comes out of the lamb's pussy.
Oh, okay. Do I have to be here for this?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Here's your theme.
Okay.
And here's this lamb that we have. Her name is Bessie.
Oh, no.
She likes ear scritches. She likes belly rubs.
My boy, does she.
Yeah, she really likes it. You can see here we shorn her. So she's real, like, soft right now.
Okay, yeah.
Take care of it. Show your devotion to Zeus right now.
Okay, well, all right. Let me just grab this goat here and...
Oh, are they finding the sheep alive?
What? Wait, I'm confused. Sorry. I thought we sacrificed the goat to have them... Oh,
you're right. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah. We're good. Sorry, I'm confused. Yeah, okay. I can kill both of them if you want. Okay.
No, then we get two Zeuses, and then what do? We get Deuce Zeus. We don't want Deuce Zeus. Deuce part D.
Deuce ex machina? No, thank you.
Here comes Zeus, and he's...
rolling.
I'm not going to smell your finger, dude. God damn it, Zeus. Fucking disgusting.
I agree. It's a pretty cool Camaro you got.
God damn it, Zeus.
Zeus, every fucking time.
You need it to get it up?
Yeah.
You have to be listening to Sister Christian?
It's like a 7-minute long song, dude.
We get to stand here like the old ladies in Midsummer and encourage him and move his hips around and stuff.
But I don't have to be happy about it.
No. We just want him to go out here. Let me finish.
Okay. And there we are. Okay. Yep.
Yeah. And then due to magic sperm.
Okay.
And meat. Bessie's getting pregnant real quick.
Yep. And like a rocket launcher, out comes Hercules, the legendary journeys.
Mm-hmm. Later, Zeus. I know I don't know anybody who can get you MDMA. This is Gary Butterfield.
This is Cole Ross.
And welcome to Abject Suffering. We hate you. Can't remember if I've actually done that one or not.
I think I would remember that. Yeah, no, that's a good intro. Sets the tone. This is a premium episode. This is about Hercules, the legendary journeys, which y'all voted for. This is it's an N64 game, and this is exhibit, I think, probably J. I need to go back and take inventory. An exhibit in the case for how the Ocarina of Time has left the world worse than it found it, I believe.
Yes. Yes, I understand that 3D stuff was new at a certain point. And I've read, you know, all of the defenses of like, oh, they couldn't assume. Oh, the care Nintendo took in figuring out, making sure you knew how to navigate a 3D space. It was just new to babies.
You're right.
And also you've kind of been doing it in like wizardry and stuff even before then. Like you can assume like, what if the camera moved in wizardry without 10 fucking minutes?
What's funny about it is, like, yes, okay, Nintendo is figuring all the stuff out. They figured it out, which is the intro to Mario 64, which is the outside of the castle where you can run around to get used to the controls and go in and be confident. right? You didn't, you know, you didn't have the long protracted intro where it painstakingly took you through every single action. And every action RPG after Ocarina of Time, important game, yes, I will grant that and concede it, adapted the pace, adapted the stultifying pace of Ocarina of Time when there were more elegant ways to do it.
And like, yes, this is a worse game than Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
You know, sure. But it's the old thing where it doesn't matter how good your game is if you have 10 minutes of tutorial at the beginning.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna play it. You know, like if you're, you know, same, you have a half hour cutscenes, I ain't gonna watch it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't matter. Like you can make the best game in the world. You can hide my favorite game behind that, and you've already hidden it too well.
You're starting with a death.
I'm gonna do other stuff.
Yeah.
You know? Oh no. Yeah, Moriarty has destroyed me again. I have to go play another video game that doesn't ask me to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fate.
So yeah, this is a 3D action adventure. You start out, you're playing as Hercules, you're being trained, and most of your training has to do with, okay, so there's one button on your controller, its function is going to change depending on the context of where you're at. So if you're standing in front of this thing, it will do one thing. If you're standing against another, it'll do another thing. Now out into the world with you.
Weirdly enough, there's no world building or character at all to the dialogue.
Nope.
You're being told this dialogue by a tiny, tiny little centaur and with a real specific face, but he doesn't say like, ah, yes, you know, Zeus has sent me to teach you the ways of, he just says, Hercules, I'm going to teach you how to play a video game.
Uh-huh.
Like essentially, like, go clear those rocks. You'll notice your button does this. There's no flavor to it at all.
Nope.
Which also, it's pretty wildly bland.
He's a full grown man. You would think you would know how to kick a block.
This little guy, I assume this is, I watched this show.
Right.
When I was younger, I didn't watch tons of it or anything. Mm-hmm. He's got an actor's face painfully mapped onto him, like Goldeneye.
Yep.
So I assume he's a guy in the thing, but him just being the lead, it's the number one face you see in the game.
Well, so like you get the little intro, like with the drawing of the scribe, giving you the this show's version of the mythology, right? And then there's an iris wipe just to this guy's face, like directly in your face, just staring right at you. It looks like a picture of, it looks like Danny McBride is who it looks like to me.
It does. Yeah. It looks like a Danny McBride novelty, like pillowcase wrapped around someone's face to kill them.
Yeah. Yeah.
The your own face on a pillowkiller.com has struck again. But the game is nothing. You go through a real bland Nintendo 64 environment. Mm-hmm. I do not like Nintendo 64 era graphics. And you lift up rocks and throw them, and then you go punch some dummies, then you go punch some dudes.
Yeah.
And it's all tutorially and really bland.
Yeah. I didn't get very far in this because I, you know, got out into the first screen and there were like two tents where little goblin guys would like roll out and do cartwheel attacks at me. You could kill them for money. I didn't find anywhere to spend money. I couldn't get forward. There's no obvious way forward except through a large boulder that you had to pick up. Certain size boulders, Hercules can pick up and throw, but if they're large, you have to do a button mash. I couldn't mash the button fast enough to get this, boulder up. So, that was my roadblock.
I got through that and there were more, little clown things you fought.
Yeah.
So it wasn't, you didn't miss too much.
Cool.
On Hercules. It's pretty awkward and bad and just really ugly.
Mm-hmm.
No, thank you.
And it's just real big, you know, Quest 64, Any Port in a Storm, Legends of Aiden kind of deal, where like, man, the stuff that you had to accept if the N64 was the only system you had. And I was hoping that there would be a little bit more of a reckoning about that when Nintendo put the N64 games on Switch Online, you know?
Yeah.
But instead, the conversation was all about like, oh, is it worth the money, et cetera? Not, oh, like this is the crop that they chose and none of it is worth playing, actually.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's almost as if gamers don't look critically upon
yeah,
large swaths of video game history because it happened when they were at a certain age.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it's a as much as I don't like Undertale, it unseating Ocarina of Time as the best game of all time on the GameFAQs poll. Like, I it's a real let them fight situation.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, for me, but I do take some satisfaction, even if I also take some pain. I mean, it is a Cenobite pleasure. I solved the lament configuration, and they made Undertale the best game of all time.
Undertale could be your angel or your demon.
Yeah. The painful orgasm I had at that moment when I found that out.
Oh man, I just love it. Like just exposing the farce of the GameFAQs poll, you know, and then also you know, revealing how many people took that way too seriously. It's very good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like Undertale, so like it is still a let them fight because everybody who's invested in that is not anybody I would want to hang out with. I don't wish them any particular harm, but
like, and even as an Undertale liker, not you, I mean, just the general Undertale liker.
That's not the greatest game of all time. Fucking no, no, no.
Yeah, are you out of your fucking mind?
Yeah. Like, wild. No, that's just, that's just fandom going overboard. Stop it. Stop the hyperbole.
It's just the character you want to like write fiction about the most of all time.
Yeah.
So Nintendo 64, not a very good library.
No.
This not a good representation of it. Middling reviews.
Yeah.
Has its defenders.
Yes. I never watched this show. And in fact, this whole era of sword and sandal television that that we had there, where we just had this glut of Hercules kind of shows.
Hercules and his tiny little leather blonde.
Yeah. That he hung out with. Yeah. Iacles or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which did not have tons of homoerotic subtext, which cleared the way for Xena, the warrior princess, to be like one of those things where like if I start seeing the gay subtext, like I know it's real obvious.
Yeah, no,
it's like, and I'm just like, oh yeah, they fucked.
Oh, of course.
100% that was about them being gay.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? No. But yeah, just the like this, the Merlin television show. What network was this on? Because in my head this this was like a sci-fi thing, but this had to, like, this was like actual network television, right?
No, yeah, I watched this as a youngin.
Yeah.
I watched this as a teen. This was on our equivalent of Channel 9.
Okay.
UPN.
Like, oh, kind of
before it got to be UPN, like before that UPN campaign.
UPN? You know, what?
CW, like, so our Channel 9 was like UPN, which then became the CW.
Yeah. UPN had had distribution. Like we got UPN over in Mansfield, like over at least in North Central Ohio. Yeah.
That's why I wanted to correct myself from saying Channel 9 as if that said to anybody who didn't live in my hometown.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. But we had UPN, like UPN. It wasn't on every like cable package or whatever, but like that was where Pokemon aired. In my hometown, in the morning. And so like my dad, his cable got UPN, whereas my home cable didn't. So spending staying with my dad, there were, you know, lots of cool things about it, but like in the morning I could wake up and watch Pokemon, which was good. Watch it before school, which is nice.
Yeah. It was not, so the show as like something I used to watch, it's pretty boring. Like, so this is a Sam Raimi show.
Yeah, produced it.
Sam Raimi did this, who is good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we can all agree Sam Raimi is good.
Yeah.
Responsible for a lot of, and then went on to Briscoe County Jr., which is a similar thing, but for Westerns.
Yep.
Like, kind of fun, light adventure shows that for some reason were an hour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't explain them either. It's not, I don't understand what was going on with TV at the time.
Yeah.
That we wanted this, but boy, did we want it.
Mm-hmm. And so Xena was the spinoff of this, and like that looms larger in the cultural landscape for me, like looking at it in the past, that kind of was
more
that,
than Tarzan the Epic Adventures or Jack of All Trades.
Yeah. the one of these that I did watch was the Merlin television show, and that was fun. That was actually, I enjoyed that, but
yeah, The Adventures of Sinbad.
Yeah, no, didn't get that one. No.
Xena has longer legs because Xena got adopted by the queer community because it was full of gay subtext.
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, I'm not going to go to her Wikipedia page to see if she's been canceled or whatever. Lucy Lawless seems like a force for good.
I mean, in comparison to the dark shadow that Kevin Sorbo cast.
Swords. Yeah. Yeah.
I think that there's people, you know, if not taking away the representation angle, mm-hmm. representation neutral, there's a narrative that Xena was a much better show.
Yeah.
I have to cast doubt on that. Like, I watched both at the time and they're real similar.
It all looks like junk to me, but you know,
it's super junk. Yeah. Like it's cheap junk.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it does feel like it presages like your Riverdales and your Supernaturals, though, in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
It also kind of look like cheap junk to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like
this seems like the kind of thing that like either went away because it got oversaturated, or it went away because all fantasy got blown out of the water once Lord of the Rings became the cultural phenomenon when the movie came out in like 2001. I think like those two things line up way too well for there not to be a cause and effect.
And then like TV's fantasy didn't recover until Game of Thrones.
Right.
You know, and then now we're in a renaissance of it, but there was a long period.
Yeah.
Of torpor there. The guy in the TV show, before we just back on Kevin Smith for a long, or Kevin Sorbo, mm-hmm. the guy in the TV show who played Ares is named Kevin Smith, but it's not that Kevin Smith.
Weird.
And I was really weirded out at first. Cause like Kevin Smith is as the god of as Ares.
What?
1996 Kevin Smith is god as Ares. That's weird, but it's a different guy.
So. Plays Iphicles. Huh.
Yeah. There's a lot of people.
Yeah. So weird.
Yeah. It was cheap. They just had people show up and play the same characters.
Yeah.
Oh, Kevin Sorbo's Wikipedia does a disservice to how crapulent he is. The only section that references how he's a garbage person mm-hmm. is about religion in Hollywood, where it has him, where he defends Mel Gibson's anti-Semitism with the words news bulletin, you did kill Jesus.
Jesus Christ.
But that's under a subheading that's like his religious views in Hollywood. Not his anti-Semitism and crapulence.
Yeah.
And it makes me very mad because he's mm-hmm. a real shit.
Now, I mean, it kind of is the only like notable thing about him now. He has joined into, you don't want to call it a grift because it seems like he comes by it honest. But by which I mean, you know, he kind of this behavior goes way back even before Twitter, but the notable thing is that he is, you know, just one of these reactionary pieces of shit, fucking religious bigot, is what he is.
Yeah.
Who pretty much will trend from time to time. He trended here recently because wasn't he the guy who tweeted like, ever notice how there are no Democrats on Mount Rushmore or something like that? Just real like junior varsity level like dunking or something. So just terrible.
Yeah, I did not see that.
Yeah, no, he trended on Twitter and people were like, oh god, this shit again.
Rushmore, the objective. Natural feature, you know, that just kind of coalesces mm-hmm. to show virtue. It wasn't built by anybody.
No, and it definitely wasn't etched into a holy site for the people who are already here in the first place. You know,
there's already
the politically neutral arbiter of reality that does not make any kind of heinous statement about us
as our big dumb president statue.
Yeah. that like nobody who's been there, like nobody that I've talked to who has been there has ever said a good thing about it. Like it has always been underlined as like that just underwhelming bullshit, tourist trap garbage.
North by Northwest is pretty good, but the Mount Rushmoreism and it is purely, you know, incidental.
Yeah.
It's real dumb for us to carve a couple presidents into a mountain.
It's pretty bad. If that was featured in Bioshock Infinite, I would say it was way over the top.
Yeah, it's pretty unsubtle.
Yeah. a little bit of idolatry going on there. You know, we're talking about it from a religious perspective. What's funny is
they're not supposed to like that stuff.
Both Kevin Sorbo and Dean Cain, two people who got famous for playing strong men in the 90s, both mm-hmm. of them ended up being, again, retrograde conservative dipshits, which mm-hmm. is funny to me. Yeah. And then there's also something here. So I do not want to make light of the fact that somebody had a an illness, but this is a thing that you notice every once in a while. So Kevin Sorbo, back in 1997, he had a stroke. It's a big thing. Okay. Can happen to anybody who is young. Wouldn't wish a stroke on anybody. Seems nightmarish. Okay. All the hedging there. He survived, and he made he kind of made a bit of a thing, bringing attention to strokes and stroke research. Good, fine. There is preponderance of people who, after suffering some kind of brain injury or incident, or going on painkillers, take a very strong rightward turn. This is something that happened to Tila Tequila. She had like an aneurysm and eventually just started saying like, oh, I'm a Nazi. Yeah. There is a correlation in this. I'm not saying that necessarily the people who suffer brain damage end up turning to the right, but there is a strong association between the personality shift that happens after that and taking hardline religious views, where it has happened more often than you would expect, basically.
Yeah. That's bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea.
Yeah,
that explains it. We figured them out, because it's so clearly wrongheaded. It's weird that people believe it, and then it's like, oh, this guy thinks that Jews are bad because they quote unquote killed Christ. Mm-hmm. It's because he had a bad headache.
And also, like, I don't want to excuse his bad belief either by pathologizing it, right? It's kind of like saying...
This is just more anti-stroke propaganda than you. You're constantly trying to put him on the hook. I just don't get it. What did they ever do to you? Yet.
Oh, God. But you go too far in the other direction. If you say that without hedging it, it makes it sound like you are you're some kind of weird conspiracy theorist. Obviously, there are people who are just naturally have these shitty beliefs because of their upbringing or whatever. Maybe they're just bad people. But also, like, you don't want to say, like, anybody who believes this, obviously, it's because of something medical, and therefore, like, it's a condition, and maybe we shouldn't be so hard on them about it. No.
I mean, it does suggest that there maybe is a cure. But I love it. So he went and did a bunch of religious movies that are not as offensive as his anti-Semitism and shit.
Yeah.
So he's in like the Left Behind movie and the God's Not Dead movie, mm-hmm. As Professor Jeffrey Radisson, the evil atheist villain in that, which you can see there's a really good Big Jewel video summarizing that movie.
Does a whole series about it, which is like as a concept, where the hero is the hero of that is the kid who monopolizes all of the class time debating the teacher, which is like, if you've ever been in a philosophy class with somebody who decides like, I'm going to be the voice here and this is going to be the forum for us to work out these big ideas, that person is not a hero, one of the worst kinds of villain that ever could be.
It's like making a movie where somebody comes and saves the party by bringing an acoustic guitar. When I took a philosophy class, when I went to community college very briefly at college age before I went back to real school as an adult, my philosophy class, the version of that was a guy who compared everything to midichlorians. No joke.
Good God, what?
Like, was talking about how, like, we were talking about philosophy. It was our intro to philosophy class, and we were in the religion section, and everything was midichlorians with him.
What point was he trying to make that, like, spiritual that
God
power...
is like midichlorians, and that Star Wars has the right idea of it? That, like, God infuses us like midichlorians. Some of us get more infusions than others. Maybe that's the origin of my Star Wars hate. Like, before that, I definitely don't remember hating it. I remember just being like, it's fine.
So he was trying to say that there's a biological that there is a biological component to religion, like, or religiosity,
like a god bacteria.
Yeah,
I don't remember detail enough. I know I remember him saying it was like midichlorians and drawing many parallels to midichlorians and the teacher at this community college in rural Illinois. Moving past it.
Yeah. Person who has only ever seen Boss Baby watching a second movie. I'm getting a lot of Boss Baby vibes off of this.
Yeah. I'm getting a lot of Star Wars vibes from this motions to the idea of God.
Yeah.
I love it when people who do all those kind of movies, though, still have to make movies to make a living. Mm-hmm. And Kevin Sorbo has been in a movie called Mythica the Dark Spore and Bernie the Dolphin. Bernie the Dolphin, which does not have a summary on Wikipedia.
Yay!
It's that good.
Oh, man.
Mythica the Dark Spore has a lot, though. I'm pretty interested in Mythica, Quest for Heroes.
What is Mythica the Dark Spore?
Well, it's a part of a series of direct-to-video fantasy films, mm-hmm. Partly funded by Kickstarter. There are five in the Mythica series.
Okay.
And Kevin Sorbo plays Gojin Pai, the magician who trains the hero. Wow. The Quest for Heroes, the Darkspore, the Necromancer, the Iron Crown, the God Slayer. I love how the summaries just get smaller and smaller as you go.
I mean, there needs to be a word for that kind of gradient where in the table on the Wikipedia table, the transition from blue links to unlinked to red links. Yes. That goes just like as you can just it's like watching an EKG, just like watching them.
Husker Du wrote a song about it, like blue to red, like it's
yeah. But just like it, just you love it. You love to see it. Lots of red links. I didn't realize this. Kevin, they brought in Kevin Sorbo to voice Hercules in God of War 3.
Yeah.
Hey, Sony, fuck you.
Well, when did God of War 3 come out? Like, that might have been pre-Cropulence?
2010. So it was, like, probably pre, you know, when Twitter unveiled everybody as being fucking awful. Yeah. But, like,
before
also...
newsflash, you killed Jesus.
Yeah. But also, that's a little bit too clever by half to me.
Yeah.
You know, we got Hercules divorced. So it was Hercules.
He was, at the time, he was a good Hercules.
Yes, yeah.
Like, there was something compelling about this dumbass cheap garbage show.
Yeah.
Very little action, very little plot. The jokes are horrible. I don't know what I liked about it, but
mm-hmm. It was on.
I think it was just because you watched things. Yeah, it was on.
Yeah. And so same reason I watched Yesteryear after school. It's because, you know, TBS.
Ooh. Yeah. Yesteryear is vile.
Yeah.
It's like a wretched show.
It's the fucking pits, but you get home. And that is on alongside, like, in this rock block with King of Queens, and then it segues into Seinfeld, and then you can then turn it over and watch the Simpsons reruns. You know,
that's like your reverse of that Wikipedia link, thing. So you slowly get better.
Mm-hmm. You got your 4 o'clock through your 7 o'clock completely solved.
Yeah.
Because it's 2003.
And what else are you gonna do?
Yeah. Homework? Wild. No.
Yeah. This show wouldn't make it now. This show would be like a 10 episode drama on Netflix, and it wouldn't have this goofy hangout tone and 111 episodes.
There would be the inclination for it to take itself way too seriously.
And five pilot movies.
Jesus Christ. I was
thinking about that. This has, this has five pilots, and each one is a movie.
Mm-hmm.
So
that is very fun. Oh, man.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody, for voting and listening mm-hmm. to this. We appreciate you.
Yeah.
Keep an eye out for those polls. We'll be doing more. Mm-hmm. And thank you for patronizing us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. If you're hearing this, you can access more of these episodes. So go do that. There are plenty of them.
Yeah. If you can tell me the plot of Bernie the Dolphin, if you've seen it, please do.
Maybe that'll be on IMDb. I'm a little bit curious about Rodeo Girl myself.
Sure.
Yeah.
And Bernie the Dolphin, too. What a great filmography. It's an episode. I thought he was in a movie called Never Cry Werewolf.
Oh.
And I was going to lose my fucking mind. Yeah. But it's a TV film. Oh. Never Cry Werewolf. That old expression. The most Brayton like movie concept I've ever seen in my life.
I have no idea what that says about Brayton.
he likes werewolves and the idea of never cry werewolf.
Oh yeah,
is something Brayton would say.
That makes sense.
Most of the songs in the film were performed by the Canadian band The Manvilles.
Ugh. Wait a minute. Good God. Kevin Sorbo played Abraham Lincoln in FDR, American Badass! I think
I remember seeing something about that.
Yeah. Was that before or after Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter?
I think it was after.
It's in the sea also for that. I hate culture.
Yeah. That was a big mistake.
I look at the poster for this, which features a person playing FDR in a wheelchair that has, like gun turrets mounted to it. No, thank you.
Do you think the Red Link movie Forgiven is a sequel to Unforgiven?
I hope so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Anywho.
Yeah. Until next time, watch out for rehabilitating Mel Gibson.